are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
We're kicking off today a new series because we felt like, especially in this season, both rolling into summer, but also honestly in the life of our church, I mean, 15 years, Mission Point's been around, a little over 15 years. You know, lots of changes over time and now a pretty significant change, you know, with the lead pastor. We felt like it was really important that we dial in and make sure, not just for us as a church, but even all of us individually, personally, with changes in the world and things all around us swirling, that we look at this idea and this principle of asking ourselves, where is our life anchored? Where is our life anchored? And so this series has been in the works for probably 45 days. We usually try to work, you know, 45, 60 days in advance. And so this week was interesting for me, knowing that I was rolling in and teaching this first week of the series. I had a meeting this week, early in the week, and I rolled into that meeting and it was gonna be one of those like, oh yeah, this has been on the calendar for a while. It's kind of a slam dunk thing. It impacts some other things that I'm doing in the future and all that. But I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna roll into this, no big deal. And as the meeting progressed and as the meeting went along, it started to take some weird turns. And I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, this sounds different than what I was expecting and this and this. And as the meeting went along, and I don't know if you've ever had either these meetings or these moments or conversations, like I felt my blood pressure going up a little bit. I felt myself like sitting up and paying a little more attention, working really hard to not interrupt and go, yeah, but like working just to kind of sit back and take it all in. But by the time that meeting was over, the plan that I had intended, that I thought where this was going to go, and the plan where it actually ended up, and then there was the conversation in the parking lot afterwards. We all know that that was actually the real meeting then after that, right? That conversation in the parking lot turned even a little darker. Not dark, like I'm not in the mob or anything, but like it was just like, it just took a different turn. Sorry. By the time that conversation was over and I got in my car, I realized I was having, not like I wasn't having a panic attack, which those are real, but I physiologically, I was having a response. It was lunchtime. I wasn't hungry, but I just wanted to eat pounds of junk food, right? I was like, I was agitated. I found myself driving 84 miles an hour down Winona Avenue. I didn't even know why, but I just was like, I'm in the car driving crazy fast. I'm like, what the heck is happening? And I thought, I just need to take a break. I need to take a break. So I paused. I went and got some unhealthy fast food for me because that's how I treat stress. And so leave me alone. It's my thing, okay? And as I sat there, I thought, oh, I know I've got some stuff in this afternoon that I need to be doing. But man, this is so like, I thought it, like everything was just disrupted. So I'm driving back towards where I had come from. And I realized what was on my calendar. What was on my calendar for the rest of the afternoon was sermon preparation. A sermon about anchoring our lives in something really big so that when disruptions come along, they don't unsettle us. And I kind of laughed. I was like, I don't know anything about that. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I literally came unwound, unhinged after a meeting where I thought things were going to go one way and they went something completely different. And now I've got headworms and I'm like, what am I going to do? So we're done for the day. So I can't preach the sermon because I'm disqualified. And honestly, you guys, it was discouraging. I'm 54 years old. I made a confession to follow Jesus when I was 13. I made a real decision to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 21. I've been a professional Christian for over 20 years. How does that happen? How do I get unwound, unglued so quickly? And I realized it's exactly why we need to spend some time in God's word looking at this together. Because either I'm a much bigger basket case than I realize, and I'm all alone on this island by myself, and I'm the only person that this happens to, or this is something that we all deal with. I'm going to believe and hope that I'm not the only freak here that would happen to. My guess is, because I do know a lot of you and I spend time in the real world, that we all deal with this from time to time. And it's also why God's word speaks to it. So we're going to spend some time in God's word this morning looking at this idea of being anchored and rooted in something bigger than ourselves. So if you brought a Bible with you, great. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17 is where we're going to spend some time this morning. We're going to flip to the New Testament later, but I'll get you there pretty quickly. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah was a prophet. The prophet in Jeremiah's time, God would give the prophet some instruction so that they would then share with God's people on God's behalf. Prophets were a weird thing because you would think like, great, I get to speak on God's behalf. But a lot of times they weren't speaking good news. They were a lot of times speaking warning. They were a lot of times sharing, if you keep going down this path, this is how this is going to end up. And it wasn't always great news. Jeremiah chapter 17 opens with one of those pretty weighty conversations that Jeremiah has to have. And I'm sure when God gave him this word and told him, hey, I need you to share this with my people, he was like, what? Say what? Can we do that? You're going to need to go over that again. Because it starts like this, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1. Judah's sin, so God was asking Jeremiah to speak to his people, the tribe of Judah. Judah's sin, so it starts out with the things they're doing wrong, is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Very, very descriptive language. And what he's saying, he's not saying, hey, Judah's made a mistake. What he's saying is Judah's mistakes and their sin, it's not surface level. It is deep. It is chiseled into their stony hearts, inscribed with a flint pen. This is deep. This is big. And so Judah, like this is something that is not only like surface level, it goes to the core of them, this problem that he's about ready to unfold. So much so, he then goes on and says, even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading tree and on the high hills. So he was saying, this is in them. It's a part of them. It's a fabric of who they are. And their kids have recognized it, and they're starting to pass that on to the next generations. Now, I had to look this part up because it didn't make sense to me. On the tablets of their hearts, on the horns of their altars, their children remember the Asherah poles by the spreading trees on the high hills. I was like, okay, thank you for the colorful language and the description, but why is that a big deal? The reason why that's a big deal is because earlier in the Bible, God had given his people specific, I mean, very specific instruction. Number one, don't worship idols. You know, we know that from the Ten Commandments, like don't put anything else before God. But then he also says, and definitely whatever you do, don't worship those idols on tall hills under shade trees. So there was a specific command that God had given to his people. Not only don't do it, and if you do it, definitely don't do it this way. So what do? It's like when you tell your kid, like, don't hit your sister. Poof, like they hit their sister, right? That's exactly what God's people did. He told them, don't worship idols. And if you would happen to do that, definitely don't do it on a high hill under a shade tree. And they're like, okay, got it. Kids, let's go. Where are we going, Dad? Well, we're going to take these poles up to the high hill and put it under the shade tree. Okay. And they begin to pass that on to their kids. That's their condition at this point. So God tells them, my mountain in the land and your wealth and all of your treasures, hang on, I'm going to give away as plunder, together with all of your high places because of the sin throughout your country. And then he just tells them, through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance that I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger and it will burn forever. Good morning. Welcome to church. This is God saying, I need you to understand. I'm asking you to trust in me, not in some little totem pole that you're going to put under a shade tree on a hill that I told you not to go. I'm asking you to trust in me. And there are consequences. There are ripples if you don't. And Jeremiah just says, guys, this is what God told me to tell you. Your stuff's going to be plundered. You're going to live in a strange land. And my anger, it's going to burn forever. Here's the thing. Why were they doing this? Why would they do this? I didn't know. Again, I had to look it up. Judah was afraid. They were a small tribe, and there were enemies all around them, so they begin to build treaties with other nations, which sounds like a really smart thing to do, unless you go back and look and do what God told them to do, which was don't build treaties with those other nations. But they were afraid. So what do? They start to lean on these other countries. They start to lean on these other nations. They started to lean on their own power, on their own smarts. And somebody in a meeting goes, you know, we don't have a lot of people. I think we should partner with them. We should do this. We should do this. Oh, you know what? Yeah, because, you know, my wife was saying, like, you know, we got to get this stuff figured out. And I think that sounds like a good idea. So instead of leaning on God and what he says and his word and trusting in him, they start to lean on their own power. But we don't do that. That's not what I was doing early in the week, was I? Yes, it's exactly what I was doing. Well, if this thing doesn't happen and this thing doesn't go through and this thing doesn't go the way that I think it should and the way it's going to, this whole thing's going to crumble. An hour later, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm going to read God's word and remember where my life is supposed to be anchored. We do the same thing. Jeremiah continues with his warning. Verse 5, this is what the Lord says. So he tells them, like, here's the problem. You guys are really screwed up. Now let me give you some wisdom. This is what the Lord says. Cursed, which I don't like that word, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Jeremiah was calling them out. Like, you trust the Lord for all these things and all these things, and then it gets scary, and so what do? You lean on your own stuff. You lean on each other. You start to trust things that aren't going to hold you. Cursed is the man who does that. That person, and then he gives a picture. He says, that person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. Instead, they will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Now, this is tricky for us, like, to grasp a hold of. It's tricky for me, right? When I think about a wasteland and, you know, like, in a desert and a salt place where no one lives. You know, we have like 4 boxwoods in front of our house that got nipped by the snow and the cold this winter. And so they're starting to turn brown, right? So there's my reference of like dead shrubs. Like, that's it. Like, but that's not like what Jeremiah was saying here. Like, this is hard for us to embrace because we drive by green manicured lawns and we got sprinklers and, you know, we see really beautiful. Like, I love the, you know, driving by 15 here and seeing the rugby fields and the practice fields. Like, it's gorgeous. Like, it looks awesome, right? So we're surrounded by this all the time. But when Jeremiah gives this word to these folks, they would have known desperation. They would have known this dry, crispy tree that's never going to live in a desert wasteland. That's what Jeremiah is describing. That's who we become if we end up depending on ourselves and not on God. If I'm honest, that's how I felt as I'm throwing down junk food, trying to like put junk food on a wound. That's a weird metaphor. I don't know. I'm trying to make it go away, right? That's how I felt. I'm like, oh, this is the world is against me and it's all falling apart and then over this little thing. And if now that I have perspective on it, I'm like, oh my gosh. But that's what Jeremiah was saying. When we try to act on our own power, lean on our own selves, that's what we do. But then Whew, Jeremiah gets to give some good news. Here's what he says. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. You see the contrast that we get in scripture? Cursed versus blessed. Cursed is the one who leans on their own power and what they can do. Blessed is the one who puts their confidence in God. How many of you want to live a blessed life? Okay, a third of you. Okay, fantastic. It's good. Now, we don't know if we're supposed to raise our hand in church or not, right? You're afraid you're at an auction, you're going to buy something. I get it. But my hope is that we genuinely want to live blessed lives. Jeremiah spells it out. God says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Well, Jeremiah, what will that life look like then? You spelled out what like the crusty life looks like when we lean on our own stuff. What does that life look like? This is so good, y'all. They will be like a tree planted by the waters that sends its roots out by the stream. Now think about this. God was telling them, don't go worship on the high hill under the shade tree. Where do the roots from that tree go? They don't reach to the stream, right? He was saying, like, you go up there, eventually, like, yeah, you're under the shade tree, but eventually that tree is not gonna be able to get to water. No matter if the hard times get really hard, that tree's going down too. So don't go up there. Don't worship those idols. Don't snuggle up to the thing that looks good. Don't just lean into this artificial worship and like, yeah, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be close in proximity. And yeah, this feels right. He's saying, no. Blessed will be the person, the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence in him, because they will be like a tree planted by the waters that sends out its roots to the stream. And it does not fear when the meeting goes sideways. It does not fear when the email comes. It does not fear when the boss walks in and says, hey, can we talk? It does not fear when the economy goes, wow, 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 wow. It does not fear when our kids give us the news that we hoped they wouldn't share. That tree, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And I love this last part. And it never fails to bear fruit. I want to be a fruit producer. Like, I want to make fruit, right? Flip this to the New Testament, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think I forgot one or two, right? I have to sing the song in my head from being a kid. I want that fruit to be in my life. I want when people see me after the meeting, when people see me after the email, after the exam, after the test, after the news, I still want to be producing fruit. Yes, I can still have a bad day and I can say there's a lot going on, but I want to be a person that produces fruit. Well, how do I do that? This text tells me to send my roots out, plant myself by the stream where I can experience the living water. And that's who I will be. And too often, again, I'm disappointed in myself, 54. Man, I let a meeting, an email, something just get me because I've let my roots not go to the stream. I've connected them to my own talent, my own skill, my own abilities, my own stuff. It's not the only place that we see this in scripture. And I want to get us to this because right now you're going, okay, you named this series Anchored and all you're doing is talking about trees and roots. So where is this going? There is this text that we're using kind of as the anchor text for this series in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, if you want to flip there, it's these two verses. Snuck in this chapter in Hebrews, these two verses give us a clue for how we can live our lives in a way that will be unshaken. And it's a strange metaphor. I'm gonna give it to you. Here's a strange picture that we get. We see in verse 19, it says this: we have this hope this hope, meaning hope, meaning in Christ. We have, if we are in Christ and have surrendered our lives to Christ, we have this hope that is bigger than this life, that we will live beyond this life, that that God has something more for us than just this, that Jesus died for us so that we can have life and life to the fullest, not just here, but beyond. We have this hope then, and look at the language, as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. The writer of Hebrews is saying, when we don't feel like we have hope and when things get like way out of control, we actually do have a hope that serves as an anchor to our soul. And it is both firm and secure. It will not be moved. This idea of anchor is weird to talk about because, you know, we're in a lake community. And but here's the fact, we're Lakers, not sailors. Okay, so when we throw out an anchor, it's usually like at a sandbar so that we can sunbathe. So we don't really grasp the concept of anchors. I'm horrible at anchors, right? I put it in, I think, yeah, we're all good. 20 minutes later, you know, our boat's bumping into another boat at the sandbar. I'm like, sorry, something must have happened. Yeah, I'm not a sailor, right? I don't do great at anchors. But I do know this, Anchors don't float. Anchors sink. You throw them in, they go to the bottom, right? We screw them into the ground. Like, I do know that. I do know that they go down. And I do know that they're supposed to hold us. The ones that I put in don't always hold the best, right? Because I'm not great at it. The imagery we get here is we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Okay, well, if we stink at anchors and we're not sailors, what's this anchor thing about? We have to keep reading. This anchor, and it gets weird, this anchor, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. Okay, so Old Testament catch up for just a second. In the temple in the Old Testament, there were rooms, there were multiple rooms, and then there was this one special room called the Holy of Holies. That's where they kept the big gold God box, the Ark of the Covenant from Indiana Jones. That's where they kept it, in the Holy of Holies, okay? You could only go in, they could send a priest in once a year on the Day of Atonement. Atonement means at one with God. He would make the sacrifice, sprinkle it on the God box, right? And then that was the sacrifice for all of God's people to bring them back at one with God. They had to do this annually. Now, there was this Jewish tradition that we now know. What they would do is the priest, before he went in there, because God was holy, so big, can't touch him, like, you know, can't even be in his presence. Here's what they would do. They would tie a rope around the ankle of the priest after he washed, bathed, and did all the ceremonial rituals. Well, why would they tie a rope onto his ankle? Because if he got in there and if he was unworthy, he hadn't done all the rituals right, he falls over dead, nobody's going in to get him. They don't have to. They just fish him back in, right? They just pull the rope, out he comes, right? Because we're not leaving a dead body in there and nobody's going in. That was this tradition. And you could only, it was this special, like you had to be so special and unique to get in there. Now, this is what's crazy. So when Jesus died on the cross, here's what we get. There's a picture that tells us that that day when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that separated that room from the other room, the curtain was actually torn. Supernaturally ripped, symbolizing the fact that there was no longer anything between us as human beings that are all filthy and messy and gross and we make mistakes, and a righteous, holy God, right? How awesome is that? Like, that happened, Jesus died, woohoo! Like, that's super cool. But someone, this is what we get now. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, goes into that holy of holy places, has entered on our behalf, and as he becomes the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, and we don't need to get into him, but Jesus became the one that now intercedes for us, and we tie our anchor to him, it is firm and secure and does not move. So that when life comes, when things happen, when the email, the news, the boss, the meeting, when it all goes down, if we're anchored there, we can go, huh, okay. Because we know we're anchored in something firm and secure. Now, this is the weird part. Anchors don't float. How do I tie an anchor there? Anchors go down, not up. The tricky thing is, when we anchor down to things in this world, it's always gonna shift and it's always gonna move. Every time I've tried to put an anchor in, it didn't hold. It's because I was trying to put something in the ground under the water that I couldn't really see, that I couldn't really trust, and I just hoped that it would hold, and most of them didn't. We put our trust and faith in him and anchor to him who has done something that no one else has ever done. It holds. The question then for today is this: where are you anchored? What have you anchored to? For all of us, we anchor to different things because we want security. We want to feel okay. We want control. So the question is, what have you anchored to? And then for us just to wrestle with that for several weeks, maybe you already know, maybe you're like, okay, I got this 20 minutes ago. Stop talking so I can move on, right? Maybe you already know, but I want us to all just have a moment of maybe today, maybe tomorrow, next week in the series to really look inside and go, where have I anchored? Or maybe a better question is this: Who have we anchored to? Maybe the problem is the fact that we've anchored to a what instead of a who. I've anchored many times unintentionally to things that I thought would bring peace, things that would bring joy, things that would bring security, only to have time reveal that those things aren't going to hold me at all. Because I've anchored to a what instead of a who. The challenge for the series is for all of us to look inside and ask, where have we anchored? And so to drive that home, we've been given a reminder. If you grabbed one of these communion cups with you on your way in, go ahead and grab it. Because we've been given a physical reminder. In the scriptures, we're told regularly to experience communion. We're instructed to do that regularly. Why? So that we can remember the who and why we can trust him. The who is Jesus. I mean, unapologetically, I'm saying if our lives are not anchored in him, it's going to be a bumpy road. But why can we trust him? Why can we do it? Well, the night before he was to surrender his life, he sat with his disciples. And he was with them and they were having this meal. And he gave them this meal and he gave them this sacred, this sacrament, this symbol for them to remember why he could be trusted. He started when the bread came to him, he broke the bread. And here's what he did. He said, "This is my body broken for you." And again, I'll twist it just a little bit. What he was saying is that I'm willing to give my life. You can trust me because guess what? I'm giving my life for you. You can trust me. My body will be broken for you. And then he tells us, remember this. Every time you do this together, remember that I gave my body for you. So today we join with Christians all around the world, people celebrating this. We do that together this morning. He ups the stakes then moments later when the cup, and it's interesting, the cup that was passed around, the cup of atonement, the cup of at one with God. That was the cup that he got. And he grabs the cup and he says, "This is now a symbol of my blood poured out." And I just have this picture in my mind. I mean, it's not in scripture, but I just picture Jesus taking it and just pouring out. "This is my blood poured out for you once and for all." Once and for all, meaning you don't have to send the guy in with the rope on his ankle anymore in, because I'm going in for you. So you don't need him. You can come to me and I won't let you down. He rebrands it. He says, "This is my blood shed for you once and for all for the forgiveness of sins." So you can anchor to me because I'm willing not just to have my body broken, to pour out my blood, to give my life for you. That's why you can trust me. That's why you can anchor your life to me firm and secure. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. That's the instructions we're given, is to not forget that. So this morning we remember that together. God, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for this physical reminder that hits our taste buds and lights up certain parts of our brain. It's something weird. We don't eat all the time. And so it's unique, and it's a moment for us just to grab and to remember that you can be trusted, that we can anchor our life in you. We can weather every meeting. We can weather every bad email. We can weather every hard conversation. We can navigate every season that comes, no matter how long it is, because our life is anchored in you. Lord, help us to remember that. And now, Lord, I pray that as we just spend these next few moments just singing and reflecting, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our heart and our guts. If there's things that we need to untether from, we need to cut the rope from because we've been depending on that, Lord, just reveal it to us. Show us what it is. Speak to us. If we need conviction, convict us. If we need comfort, comfort. Lord, if we need just a reminder, if we need to celebrate with you because we're reminded of your goodness this week, Lord, help us to do that. But Lord, speak to us individually in this moment right now as we worship you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.